Wow, it's really good to be with you. We've heard a lot about your church. And I was saying to the people in the first service this morning that your church is a little bit famous because we hear about all that God is doing here and that you guys have a great leadership team. And we know them a little and we know that to be true. And you are blessed. And we're based in Saskatchewan. We're on a three-week British Columbia tour, and we lived for several years in Cloverdale, actually, but don't hold that against us. And notice I didn't say Surrey. Hey, what's with all the Surrey stuff? I don't know. Anyways, and then we moved back to Saskatchewan, and I'm thinking, why did I do that? It's only 25 degrees colder there right now. And it's not warmer, in case you were wondering. It's actually colder. So, but we are blessed to be doing what we're doing, and we minister across Western Canada, and we've been. It's just been a really exciting season in our lives, and we're working in ministering in churches. And as Marcel said, I pop in and teach at Eston College, and I do some leadership speaking and consulting as well. And it's so good to be here and worship with you all this morning. I wish we had time to share more stories, and but I can tell you my testimony in one sentence, just so you can get to know me a little. My testimony is this, that God raises up people from the ash heap and sets them high up with the princes. That's my testimony. I've got stories to tell, but that wraps it up. Pretty nicely. The things that God has brought me out of is just phenomenal, just amazing, coming from a non-Christian background. And it's just amazing. Sometimes I stand back and I look in awe at how far God has brought me. And maybe that's some of your testimony as well. He's taken me from the trash heap and he's promoted me to being a dignified son or daughter of God. Amen. Well, I wanted to mention, too, that my wife, Camille, and Marcel's wife, Christina, went to youth group together in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. So both Marcel and I agree that good things come out of North Battleford, Saskatchewan, if you know what I mean. And we've known them for quite a while. Well, this morning we're looking at John chapter 15. I'll ask that you open up your Bibles, if you have your Bible with you, to John chapter 15. And for our theme this morning can be wrapped up in two words, and I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to get you to repeat it a little while afterwards. But today we're going to learn that fruit happens. Fruit happens. Okay, so can you say fruit happens on the count of three? One, two, three.
Fruit happens.
Okay, I saw some people whose lips weren't moving. At least you could have just, no. On the count of three again. One, two, three. Fruit happens. John chapter 15. We're looking at the story of Jesus. I'd like you to imagine that you're one of the disciples of Jesus. You've been following him faithfully. You've been hearing him and you've been captivated by his teaching. And you've seen him raise people from the dead. You've seen blind eyes open. You've seen people wrestling with, is this the Son of God? Is this the one we've been waiting for? And you've become convinced as a follower of Jesus that he is who he says he is. And Jesus is placing on you his ongoing ministry. He's saying, not only is the Spirit of the Lord on me to preach the good news to the poor, but just as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. And disciples, you are on this amazing, wild adventure of serving the living God and seeing his purposes fulfilled on earth. And then he drops the bomb. By the way, I'm leaving. So it's all good up till that point. Jesus is with us. Who can be against us? We can do this. He's with us. But then he says, I'm departing. But I want you to know that it's good for you. It's good for you that I'm departing. I'm going to send the Comforter. He has been with you. He will be in you. So every Christian has the Spirit of the living God inside of them. It's going to be better for you that I go. Can you imagine how hard that would be for them to wrap their minds around? It's going to be better than this. Better than what we've experienced in the last 3 years together. It's going to be incredible. I'm promising the Spirit, and the Spirit will come and will dwell and will work inside of you and will work through you to impact the world. Jesus promises this before and after the passage we're looking at in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. He's saying, it's okay, guys. You're going to be fine. Hi. I think I just recognized someone there. Hi. It's been a few years. Okay. Don't distract me like that. No, just kidding. Okay. John chapter 15. We better get in there before I get see a butterfly or something and go off on another tangent. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So Jesus is setting up this picture, this image of gardening, and he's going to explain how fruit happens, and he's saying that he is the vine, we are the branches. So the first thing we learn in the first verse is that Jesus is our source for everything that we need to accomplish what God has called us to do. It's all there. It's in him. And we are connected to him. So we get all that he is flowing into us. He's the source for all that we need. Do we ever need to question, do we have enough to accomplish what God has called us to do? We don't need to question that. It's all there in Jesus. Jesus is the source. He has all the energy available that you need, all the power, all the grace, all the strength, all the bravery that you need. It's available to you. All you have to do is be connected to that branch. Verses 2 and 3. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. What we learn here is that Jesus is committed to making you fruitful. He'll do whatever it takes so that you produce fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is any God-honoring result or outcome in your life. It can be a matter of your character, a matter of you becoming more loving, a matter of you becoming more patient. It can be your ability to influence someone who doesn't know Jesus to move closer towards commitment to Jesus. Any God-honoring thing that God has called you to do, that's fruit. And Jesus says, I will do whatever it takes to make sure that you're more fruitful. I'll even prune you. And I'll even cause discomfort in your life because I love you. And I want you to experience the thrill of knowing what bearing what much fruit looks like. There's some things that need to be cut off, some things that need to be changed in your life and in my life. Verse 4 and 5. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. In some of your Bibles, it will say, abide in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear a little bit of fruit. That's maybe a different translation. He will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you can see what Jesus is doing is he's looking into his disciples' eyes and he's saying, yes, you feel weak. Yes, you feel inadequate. You feel like you can't accomplish this global mission that I've called you onto? Good. You get it. That's the first point you need to arrive at. That you don't, you apart from me, you can't accomplish anything of eternal lasting value. So you've got it. If you feel your weakness and you know that you're in dependence on Him, you're in a good space. And you're ready to receive the power and the strength that He has for you. He wants to communicate to you His grace and everything that you need for where you're at in this season in your life. He wants you to walk in close union and fellowship with Him. He wants His Spirit flowing right through you into the lives of other people and impacting them for the kingdom of God. So what we learn in verse 4 and 5 is this. It is not your job to produce fruit. It is your job to be in the vine, to be in close relationship with Him. And we feel a lot of pressure sometimes in Christian culture to be producing. You know what? Especially in evangelical churches, we're activistic, we want to do things, we want to accomplish things, and that's good. But if we don't understand how that process happens, we get a little misguided. We get a little driven. We feel a little guilty. We feel very overwhelmed. But if we understand that our job is just to walk in closeness with Jesus and to be available to Him and to receive the strength and power that He provides and just let that flow through our lives, then we understand the saying of Jesus, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." So I want you to think about a work situation or a family situation or a ministry situation that you're facing that is above and beyond your ability right now. That's good. That's good. And if you abide in closeness with Jesus, if you get closer to Him, so close that you could say, "I am in Him." We know that positionally through what Jesus did on the cross for us. But in our experience, in our daily lives, I am in Christ. I'm abiding in Him. And I'm trusting that He is working through my life, even right now. And He's accomplishing things that I can't do in my own strength, but He's accomplishing things that He can do. Then you'll be in a good space and you can relax, you can rest, you can be confident. And I know that a lot of people need to hear that as Christians. You need to know that if you're abiding in Jesus and you're walking in close fellowship with Him, that fruit happens. You look around and you say, "Well, I'm pretty sure it isn't happening sometimes," but it is happening. The life of Jesus flows through you. The presence of God goes with you wherever you go. And lives are impacted. I had a lady who's in her 70s now who served so faithfully, served for a while in Asia, served for a while in Canada, raising up young leaders, young Christian leaders. And when I told her fruit happens and there is an impact from your life, you could just see her relax, and she said, "Thank you." Because she was living with this tension, like, I'm walking with the Lord, but I can't always see what's happening through my life. Thank you for saying that. And there's probably some people here that need to be reassured today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And He's working through you wherever you go. Verse 6. "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." And here we have in verse 6, there's a danger of you and I becoming severed from Christ, becoming separated by our own choice, by our own decision. Not because He isn't willing and able and available to us. If you experience life apart from the vine, apart from his life flowing into you daily and even moment by moment, life gets really dry. Life gets very arid, and you get very miserable. Have you noticed that? But if you're having his life flow into you, then life becomes more of a joy. So you need to do all that you can to arrange and rearrange your life so that you're walking in closeness with Jesus. So you have times of resting and receiving from Jesus. So you have times of being filled by his Spirit. And you need to disallow everything that's in your life that's preventing you from that closeness with Jesus. And we all have different areas in our lives. We can identify them even now. The Spirit of God is more than able to identify that to all of us at once. There's things that need to be disallowed in our lives that are cutting off the flow of the life of Jesus into us. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So what I get from that is that if I want an H3 SUV, I just ask and then I get it. Is that the way you, Pastor Owen taught you to read? No, I'm just kidding. I wish, because right now I'm driving a minivan. You're supposed to feel sorry for me right now. But what Jesus is saying is if you walk in this closeness with me, that your desires become aligned and enmeshed with mine so closely that the very things that bring me the greatest honor and glory, those are the things that you want. And those are the things that you're praying for. And I am pleased to say, yes, I'll move in answer to that prayer. That's the kind of closeness that we're talking about, that Jesus is calling to you, that is 100% available to each one of us here today. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is to my Father's glory. So when a Christian is walking in this kind of intimacy with God and things are happening around them that bring glory to God, that's when we're discovering what our lives are truly all about in the first place. We exist for the glory of God. Jonathan Edwards said, when God is most glorified, God's people are most happy. And we need to remind ourselves that we exist for his glory and pleasure, not the other way around. He doesn't exist for mine. I'm creature, he's creator. And when I get locked into that zone where what really matters to me is that he receives the most glory in and through my life, then I'm the most happy. I get easier to live with, ask my family. And when I'm locked in on what's on my name and my glory, then I people don't like being around me so much. So how focused are we on the glory of God happening through our lives? Jesus said, when my life is flowing through you and fruit is happening in and through you, that brings me much glory. And God wants us to bring us into that. A good word for it is flow. He wants to bring us into a place of flow, where his presence is just flowing into us and it's flowing through us. That's God's will for your life today. I believe that very often this happens in an unconscious way. You're just walking in intimacy with Jesus and things happen. Sometimes you're aware of it, sometimes you're not aware of it. I like to know when, I like for people to say God used you to do something or to speak something into my life, but you don't always know. Sometimes you're unconscious. Tony Campolo, how many of you have heard of him? Most of you. He's a well-known Christian speaker. And he did some research. He went down into the church basement at the church that he attended as a child. And he went through the file folders, and he was snooping around. And he found a file folder from when he was in Sunday school as a little boy. And he found that on the roster, there was only two names, his name and another little boy's name. And the Sunday school teacher's assessment of how it had gone that term in Sunday school. Nothing happened. Only two boys showed up. And you can imagine these little guys were probably biting each other and not really listening all the time to the lessons. But imperceptibly, that the presence of Jesus in that woman was affecting their lives. And that the other man that was on the list has gone on and done great things in the kingdom of God. Tony Campolo has affected, I'd venture to say, thousands and thousands of lives for the kingdom. But that woman at the time was needlessly discouraged. She was serving, her head was down, she thought nothing was happening. How many times is that us? We're just wondering, we're questioning, and we don't need to. If we're walking in that closeness with Jesus, his presence is flowing through us. Fruit happens. Jesus said it happens. It's happening right now. In the lives of people around you that are in your orbit, they can see the presence of God working in your life. If you're in the flow of what God wants to do in your life, you're not perfect, but you're headed that direction. People can see that in your life. It's affecting them. And they have the choice of what they do with it or not, but it's apparent. God's presence is readily viewable in your life. So I want to just share with you a few times in my life, a few different seasons where I really struggled with this personally, just with different feelings of insecurity and weakness. Even though I know that the Apostle Paul said that he would boast about his weaknesses because then he would just know that God's going to use him all the more. This is a lesson that's hard learned. We have our friend Kim with us. She's living in Port Coquitlam and just visiting. We haven't seen her for years, but back when she was a teenager, we visited a camp and did some ministry there, and her friend Christina was there and came from, there were some hard things that happened in her family. And we just loved this girl and tried to encourage her every time we saw her at camp or at youth retreats. And we wrote letters a little bit back and forth with her. You remember writing letters? It's kind of like Facebook messaging, but different. Use a pen and stuff. And we just tried to encourage her just from a distance. Didn't even have a lot of contact with her. Well, this last summer, she came by our place, and she said, I'm raising my kids to follow Jesus, and I've married a man who loves Jesus, and we're going on with the Lord, and that's partly because of you guys, because of you encouraging me as a young person. And if you knew her family situation and some of the things that she'd gone through, it didn't have to go that way. It could have gone a very different direction in her life. But there we were trembling and wondering if these teenagers were listening to us at camp and wondering, is God doing anything here? Absolutely. Fruit happens. Another season in life was when we were in Cloverdale, and I was working as an outreach pastor at Sunrise Church, and just really finding that very often, I know it's very different there than it is on the North Shore. Everyone's very interested in the things of God, and it's easy for you to reach people. But there it was hard. And we just found that people were really absorbed with their own lives and their own, just whatever their own stuff was, and it was kind of hard sometimes to get their attention as a church. And very often during that season, I wondered, you know, is there fruit from this time? Is God doing anything? Well, we had left, we'd moved away, and then we came back to visit a couple of years ago. And this woman in the lobby stops me, and she says, one time when you preached the gospel on a Sunday morning, I responded. And I submitted my life to Jesus Christ. And there she was, she's going on with God. And she's a light in her home. No one else in her family is following Jesus that we know of. Fruit happens. Even if you're in a season when you don't know, is it really happening? I'm serving God with all of my heart. Fruit is happening. God is doing things. It takes a while very often for fruit to develop, doesn't it? You don't just go, I'm going to plant grapes. Can you plant grapes on the North Shore? Yeah. You don't just, it's not like next month you're going to be eating those things, right? It takes a while for that fruit to develop, and you just have to keep that thing healthy and let the life flow through until it produces those amazing grapes for you to enjoy. The last story I'll tell you is a story about a shirt-tail relative of Christina Kurtz's who moved into our area and moved to the acreage next to our acreage. And we just absolutely love this guy, a retired World War II veteran, and always with great stories to tell. And he would come over, he'd go 4x4ing across the rough ground on his scooter over to our acreage, and he'd come visiting us, and he'd have a little bag of sometimes bones for our dog, sometimes like steaks that were probably better than I would eat. And he just decided, this fellow, that he was going to be our friends whether we liked it or not. So he'd just always come over and visit us, and we'd go over to his place for tea sometimes, and just really enjoyed hearing his stories, and such a character. He would look, if you were, would give him any time, he would look into your eyes and start singing to you in Italian or some other European language that he had learned when he was in the war, because if he ever got injured and he was in the hospital and there was a cute nurse and she didn't speak English, he wanted to have all these different languages available. So he would look at you and sing a song in Italian, a beautiful love song, and it was a little bit awkward, especially if you were a guy. But he, just such a character that was so delightful to be around. But we, as far as we knew, he had no previous commitment to Jesus. He had some friends and family members who knew the Lord. He had some books on his bookshelf that were written by Christian authors, but he never made that step. One day he came over to our house on his scooter over across the backyard. And we're sitting on the back step, and he says, "I've got bad news. The doctors told me I have cancer." And you can just kind of tell by looking at him, he doesn't have a lot of time. And we took a chance and we said, "Can we pray for you?" And then you wait. Is he going to think we're crazy? Religious nuts? He already knows that I'm a pastor, so I can't pretend that I'm not a person of faith and hide in this moment. And we're waiting, and he says yes. And that was our little way just of gently being a witness for Christ in his life. Well, they ended up moving away. We helped them a little bit with their move, and we were just friends in just a quiet, gentle kind of way. And then his cancer progressed, and we came back through the town that he was living in Alberta, and he was on his deathbed. He wasn't sure that he'd make it to his birthday in 2 weeks. His family was coming on his birthday, so he's trying to hang in there. And he was laying on his bed, and we came into the room, and it's hard to see your friend in that kind of position. He's one of the people that we had grown the closest to over the past few years. And we came into the room and we took his hand, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, "I've asked the Lord to forgive me for the things I've done. I've not been a good boy." And that was his cheeky way of saying, "I'm a sinner." And we just looked at him and we reassured him, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins, he forgives you. And your slate is wiped clean, and now you're ready. And then we wondered, is this a really a true conversion? Is he truly coming to Christ? And later on in the conversation, well, we should have known because of the fact that he was crying while he told us, and it was deeply affected him. But later on in the conversation, he started crying again. We were talking about another neighbor that we had, and that was a neighbor that was into secular humanism and Buddhism and a number of other sort of a concoction of faiths. And this man who discovered peace with God on his deathbed was concerned about his neighbor who didn't have Christ. And he started crying about his neighbor who didn't have Christ. And he said, "They don't know what they're missing." So Christ had moved right in and taken up residence in his life, and it started to affect the whole way he was thinking. He wouldn't have thought that way about his neighbor before. He would have just thought, oh, it's cool, they do some martial arts and some other interesting spirituality things. But now he was like, they need to have this, what I have in my life. Now that happened in a season in my life where I was really questioning, does fruit happen? Is a life of God flowing through me? And I was so blessed to have that reassurance that imperceptibly through my life and through the lives of other Christians, there was an influence in this man's life, and he was being drawn towards Christ. Jesus is in you. Jesus wants to flow through you. Jesus wants you to know that when you're walking with him, fruit is happening. It's happening around you. So remain in that. Continue in that. Let's pray. Lord, as we pray, I just encourage you to have your hands open and just a posture of receiving. As we pray, Lord, we believe that you are fully capable of ministering to people right now. And you can fill people around the room with your spirit right now. And Lord, you can lift up the person who's just felt dry and disconnected and bring them back in close and pour new comfort and new strength, new renewal into them. Jesus, you can encourage right now the person who's just been faithfully laboring but downcast because they're not seeing what they want to see. You can lift them up and give them new strength and new confidence so that they can say with surety that fruit's happening through the presence of God flowing in my life. So we pray, draw each person here closer, closer into that branch, into your life flowing through us. Father, I pray that we would lead more quiet and confident lives and less frantic and anxious lives, knowing that what you want to accomplish through us is happening when we cooperate with you and we align ourselves. Lord, bring much fruit through our lives to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Wow. Just keep abiding in the Lord and watch the impact happen around you. We'd like to take a few moments before we close and share with you a little bit about our partnership with Compassion. And we would like to just show you one of the best ways that we know of to let God's working in your life flow through you to touch the life of someone else who is in a desperate situation. We can roll that video and we'll say a few words after.
Every day, millions of children fight for their lives. They face a dangerous enemy, one who would steal their joy, their childhood, and their hope. That enemy is poverty. For a young girl like Karina, poverty doesn't just mean hunger, ill health, and a lack of opportunity. It means fear and vulnerability as she is forced to fend for herself and her younger brothers and sisters while her parents struggle every day to put food on the table. They lack the most basic of needs, and without intervention, Karina's future is an all too familiar story. Ginselli, a dentist from the Dominican Republic, knows more than most the plight of those in need.
Karina reminds me when I was her age, because I used to live in a house like that, with only one room and no bathroom inside. It's a story of daily struggles. You start just looking at yourself like you don't have any value. You think, I cannot change what I am. My fear was to end my life as the teenagers that I saw. I always wanted to be a dentist. When I just come to my reality, I just understand that I couldn't afford that. If we didn't have just a little bit of rice in our house, how come can I pay in university? How come can I think and study?
Four years ago, Karina's life changed through the help of Compassion when someone at a church event in North Carolina chose to become her sponsor. Ginselli knows what a difference this makes.
My story changed when Compassion, with my sponsor and also the team of my church, came to my life. It was really exciting for me to go to the project, because I knew that a lot of friends were waiting for me. And also because my director was really lovely. She used to hug us. She used to ask her, hey, Ginselli, how are you? Through the project, I was able to go to my school with my stomach full of food. If I get sick, I have someone to take care of me. Every day we have someone who teaches a Bible story, and we used to sing, and sometimes the teacher just stand up and say, who can start praying? And a lot of kids were raising their hands, and it means that we just believe in God. God was with us. We, as a child, we are seeds. And if someone just take us and put us in the right earth and give us water through letters, and word to the team of Compassion, we start growing. And one day, we start giving fruits. My sponsor used to write it to me. I can do everything in Jesus Christ. So in the deep part of my heart, I knew that God was able to do something with my dreams. If I were able to have my sponsor in front of me, the only thing that I can just tell her is just thank you. Thank you so much for changing my life. Thank you so much for my past. And thank you so much for what I am right now. Because what I am right now is because God used her so much. If someone is considering and sponsor a child, what I can say is just do it. Don't think about it, just do it. That's it.
Isn't that wonderful? We're so blessed to be partnered with Compassion, and it's a child development organization where the entire focus is on helping children develop in every area of their lives. The motto for Compassion is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And we want to share with you just briefly the four C's of Compassion, and we want to let you know that sponsorship is $41 a month. And that's something that's doable for most of us, and it's something that radically changes the lives of a child and their whole home situation. When it comes to the Great Commission, we need to think smaller. We need to think about the little ones. Only 15% of missions giving goes towards reaching children and youth, but 60 to 80% of people make their decision for Christ before the age of 18. So if we want to be effective in reaching the nations, we have to focus on reaching children. Compassion's working in 26 countries in some of the toughest, most poverty-stricken neighborhoods in the world. Dwight Moody said, if I could do it all over again, and he had a fairly big ministry, if you've read anything in church history, spoke to many, many people. He said, if I could do it again, I would focus on children, on reaching children.
Compassion is also Christ-centered, and this is what's ultimately the most important thing to us, is knowing that the kids are taught the Bible, and there's no hiding what they're about. And so much so that 300 to 500 kids per day come to Christ. And we were blown away. We had actually already started doing what we were doing, and then saw some stats. And I think one year it was like 159,000, and the next year was 129,000. It was just crazy. So on average, it's anywhere between 300 and 500 kids per day that are coming to Christ. And then you know that after that, for years to come, that they're being discipled. And so we're so excited about that. We're so excited to be a part of that, and to know that this organization is very evangelistic. And I think probably one of the best evangelism programs in the world right now. We had the privilege of meeting one of our sponsor children in the Dominican just at the beginning of February. And it was such a delight to spend a whole day with him and get to know him. But when we were in his home, the translator actually said to him, Francisco, do you know the Lord? Are you a Christian? And he's a quiet little guy, kind of sporty and quiet, and he just kind of, no, you know, just not pretending. But I was actually thrilled to think, cool, we get to minister into this little guy's soul through our letters. And because I had started to think, well, maybe it's mostly church kids that get in, or, you know, maybe most of these kids are Christians already, but it's not so. And I asked about that specifically, and they made it very clear, the compassion workers, they just said, no, we go out to the neighborhoods and bring them in. We know where to go, and we go get them. And most of these kids coming in are not saved at all, and they're not from Christian families, but so many of them get saved, it's unreal. So we're excited about that.
Compassion is also child-focused, as we mentioned. Everything is geared towards helping the child grow and develop in every area of their lives, and they have committed teams of workers in local church projects that track their development in every area and make sure that they have the medical attention they need and everything that they need to have hope introduced into their lives. Sponsorship works. 30 to 75% of kids who get sponsored are more likely to become leaders in their community, and 40 to 70% are more likely to become church leaders. So you can see that just having this injection of hope 3 or 4 times a week as they go to this project starts to change them, so that they lose a poverty mentality and start to realize, I have dignity in God and I can do something to change my community.
Compassion is also church-based, and we love this too, that it's the local Christians and the local pastors who are getting out there and finding the kids and then meeting them where they're at, teaching them, feeding them. Then it's really beautiful when you get to go there and see the partnership and feel like this is really cool, like from us to Compassion to them, and just the whole network and how God is using that. We actually, at this project that's, what's her name?
Giselle.
Was at that very project. We sat down with a pastor and listened to his story, and he said, I had all these dreams, you know, for these kids, for this neighborhood, but my dreams became nightmares because I had no resources. I couldn't see any way of making any of this happen. And then he was able to partner with Compassion, and it's happening. So it's exciting. It's exciting. It's kind of, I feel like we're resourcing the pastors and the churches overseas.
The last C is Compassion is committed to integrity, financial integrity. Charity Navigator monitors charities and how well they're using donor dollars. For the last 12 years, Compassion has the highest rating, a 4-star rating with Charity Navigator. And that puts Compassion in the top 1 percentile of charitable organizations. So you know that when your dollar is going towards helping that child, it is actually helping the child. Last year, in their stats, they reported that 84% of your monies go directly towards helping the child. They're committed to seeing at least 80% and keeping their costs down. But because they work at it so hard year in, year out, they were able to bring that up to 84% in the last year.
So what happens is there's child packs at the back. This little girl is actually spoken for already. I'm holding on to her. Mayerly, I don't even know how to say her name, from Ecuador, a little dolly born in 2009. But what we would really love is if you would just pray over these kids and pray what God wants you to do. And we just want to encourage you to don't run away with a child pack, because we have to track them. We have to know where every package goes. So it's all inside, and we'd love to meet you at the back and help you with that. But I just really want to encourage you in that. How many of you are sponsoring children already? I know that that's awesome. That's fantastic. So we just want to encourage you, you know, if it's time to sponsor another one, or if you've just been thinking about it for a long time, just like she said, don't think too hard about it. Just do it. So I'm going to close with a song, actually, and then I think we'll be dismissed from there.
Yeah. Okay. And if you sponsor a child today, Camille didn't mention, you get a complimentary copy of her CD as well. So God bless you.
By the time I get it, figured out, you'll get home. Well, that was a great morning. I feel I've been on a journey, and I'm grateful for it. So we want to thank you for coming this morning. And just to remind you, for Barry's widow, that fund, if you want to stop by that way, we can't receipt. We're telling you that in advance, we can't receipt, but we can give it where it's needed. And so if you want to stop in it there, and if you're interested in sponsoring a child, again, it sounds like a great, great, great thing to be a part of. So yesterday, you know, this last week I was at a funeral, and then I was at a birthday party, and here I am this morning, and I was thinking, isn't it wonderful to belong to a local body? This thing called the church, where we laugh together, we cry together, we hold each other, we release each other. But it's because it's not just a church service. We're part of church. So I always want to say how much I appreciate you. And I know others in our church, that they really appreciate their church. It's like a gift from heaven. Like, it's just like a gift when you say, I know people. And if something happened to me, they would be there to look after me. And we don't do it perfectly, right? We do it very poorly in some ways. But it's something magical and something very powerful to belong to a body like this. So, Lord, may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.